Ordinarily, this would be the fourth Sunday in Ordinary Time, but the Feast of the Presentation falls on a Sunday this year, and since it's a solemnity, it trumps Sundays in Ordinary Time. So that's why we're doing this. So the church gives us three readings with all kinds of hints about the meaning of this celebration. So let's kind of dive into those. They're sort of sporadic, and this won't be a homily that's all tightly woven together, but we're just going to kind of explore those themes. First thing is, Mary and Joseph bring Jesus to the temple to present him, as was the custom, according to the law. And the law said that the firstborn male had to be consecrated to the Lord and presented. And that goes way back to the time in the desert when, after they had escaped from Egypt, the law of Moses said that the firstborn male had to be dedicated as a priest. And so the firstborn male of every family was a priest in those days. But then after the catastrophe of the golden calf, in God's anger and Moses' anger, they changed the law and they said only from the tribe of Levi can priests be taken. So firstborn males were presented in the temple, but they were substituted by the tribe of Levi. Okay, second thing. The first reading is from Malachi, and Malachi was written about 500 years BC. So the exile was about 700 BC. So this is after the exile, after the second temple had been restored. First temple was destroyed by the Babylonians. Then they rebuilt it. That's the second temple. And so for 100 years or so, the sacrifices were restored and everything was going according to norm, except for the fact that over time the priests became kind of corrupted and the sacrifices weren't celebrated authentically anymore. They weren't presenting the best animals, but cheap ones. They weren't presenting the best grains, but the cheap ones. And so the prophet Malachi predicts that someone is going to come and purify the temple. And he's going to restore the sacrifices of old so that they'll be pleasing to God as they were at one time. And he says it's going to involve some purging, some suffering. And he's going to be sitting there like a refiner. And the way you refine silver and gold is with heat. And heat is fire, and fire is pain and suffering. So the metal has to go through some suffering, through some pain to burn off the dross so that it becomes pure. And in our spiritual lives, it's always a kind of a biblical and liturgical notion that we have to be purified by some kind of suffering. That's what fasting and abstinence is in Lent or any time of the year. It's about purging ourselves from that dross, from the evil inclinations, from our sinful nature, etc. And so Malachi predicts that someone is going to come into the temple and he's going to clean things up, and it's going to be painful in some ways. Okay. Then we go back to the gospel. And Jesus is presented in the temple, but isn't it ironic? Because we find out later in the story that he is the new temple. That his body, and the word flesh comes up in the second reading and once again in the gospel, and it's also in the opening prayer, that he was presented in the flesh. His body is the new temple. And so the new temple is the body of Christ. And don't we refer to ourselves as the body of Christ? And don't we refer to the Eucharist as the body of Christ? So when Jesus comes to the temple to be presented as an infant, already there are signs of what is to come. One of the signs is suffering. Simeon says to Mary, a sword will pierce your heart. That being the mother of the Son of God is going to cause you some grief. And we know, $7 downtown, it's the seven sorrows of Mary. And the first sorrow is this prediction by Simeon that she's going to be, a sword is going to pierce her heart. And so Jesus comes back at the age of 12. At least in the story, that's the first time it's mentioned after this one. But he comes to the temple with Mary and Joseph once again. And they start their way home thinking he's among the other children or the other families, and they realize after a couple of days that he's not. And so they go back in search of him. And Mary says to him, "How could you do this to us? Don't you know we've been worried sick?" And Jesus says rather curtly, "Why are you searching for me? Don't you know that I have to be in my Father's house?" Okay. This harkens back to another story in the Old Testament about Samuel. And Samuel was born of a mother who was in her 80s. You know, typical biblical story. Great, significant people are born in some fantastic way. And so she had been praying for a child. And so when the child was given to her, she, in thanksgiving, takes him to the temple and presents him to the priest and then leaves him there. So he's dedicated to the Lord, dedicated to the temple for his whole life. And now Jesus, coming to some kind of recognition in his human way of who he is as Son of God and as the fulfillment of the prophetic predictions, he says, "Why are you not leaving me here? Because this is my Father's house. This is what I've come for." But he goes with them back to Nazareth and raises up to adulthood. Then later, Jesus comes at the Passover time as an adult, and he purifies the temple. He recognizes that there's all kinds of commerce going on there, the exchange of money and the selling of animals for sacrifice and everything, and he overturns the money changers' tables, and he says, "Get out of here. You are what you're doing here is a sacrilege. You're destroying my Father's house." So he's purifying the temple. So again, the irony: Jesus is presented in the temple as an innocent infant, but later on he's going to purify that temple. He's going to fulfill that prophecy of Malachi that someone is going to come and with anger and pain purify that temple. But it's not just that he's going to cause pain to somebody else. He's taking on that pain himself, because he's not just the priest of the new sacrifice, he is the victim too. So as he hangs upon the cross, giving his will over completely to the Father, that's the purification par excellence. We've never built temples since then. And the priesthood is no longer from the tribe of Levi. It's anyone who is baptized into Christ Jesus is a sharer in his priesthood. And so we're all priests here, sharers in his priesthood. And we're all offering the sacrifice of ourselves. Yes, this is the memorial of his sacrifice, but it's our sacrifice joined to his. And it's done as priests, because what do priests do? They offer prayers and sacrifices on behalf of the rest. And so we're offering this Mass this morning for the salvation of the world, because we've already been saved. We've already been baptized. We're already members of the body of Christ. We are the temple. This is not called a temple, it's called a church. And the Greek word for church, ekklesia, just simply means the gathering. It's not the building, it's us. And we offer ourselves as intercession for the salvation of the world. The temple of Christ's body gathers here every Sunday and offers this sacrifice of him and themselves as a pleasing incense, as an odor of offering that's pleasing in the nostrils of the Father. It's an awesome mystery that we are part of. And we don't deserve it, but it's given to us by grace.